What does it really take to be successful in youth ministry? My guest answers that and more. Just want to remind you, everybody, that you are listening to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. I'm your host, Eric Jean-Baptiste, where we are on this journey together on how to empower, educate, enlighten, and engage with our youth and young adults better by listening to those who are experts in this field from all around the world. We're just listening to each other and learning through conversation because we're growing together, we're mentoring each other, and we're sharing our experiences. Well, I just also want to ask, if you want to reach out and give me some feedback, you can check out my Instagram at youth_mentor101, where you can see snippets of all the podcast episodes and other things that I'm doing in youth ministry, such as a new radio show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. You can check it out on my Facebook, YouTube, and if you're in Massachusetts, you can check it out on the radio at 93.7 every Wednesday at 3 p.m. The show is called For the Z. So with that, we will get into this week's episode. I speak with Pastor Patrick Graham, who is the youth director for the Allegheny East Conference, who I've been chomping at the bit to speak with and learn from for ever since I started this podcast. So I finally got the chance to do so, and man, do I learn from him. So check out what he has to say after the ad. Hey, everybody, I am with Pastor Patrick Graham, the youth director for Allegheny East Conference. How you doing today, Pastor?
Hey, doing fine. Glad to be on your podcast.
Awesome. The first question I have for you is if you could give a short bio about yourself and what led you to where you are now in ministry.
That's one of those questions where, you know, you have the pastor sitting down and they read his bio and he's trying to be as humble as he can.
That's right.
But I'm from Brooklyn, New York. Grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I'm fourth generation Seventh-day Adventist. Always been into youth ministries, Pathfinders, Adventurers before it was Adventurers. Mm-hmm. And went to Great New York Academy, to Oakwood College, then to Andrews University. And Andrews University is where I started youth ministries. That's where I got my degree in my master's in youth ministries. So, and then from there, I pastored in the church for 10 years in the Allegheny East Conference. And I've now been in youth ministry for 8 years.
Wow. Amazing. That's great. I would, as we are dealing with this COVID-19 situation, I just wanted to start off by asking this. Do you feel, even though church services have been canceled and camporees and big events have been canceled due to this, have you actually been more busy or less busy in youth ministry?
You know, in the Allegheny East Conference, there are, we call them non-paid employees, but they're volunteers.
Yes.
And they have always been on top of their game as far as staying in touch with each other. We Zoomed before. We've always been on calls every month as far as youth ministry is concerned. We have 13 subsidiaries underneath in the youth ministry department. So we try to stay with each one per month. So to be honest with you, when they started to close down the different churches, all we did was set up meetings to be more frequent and not so far apart from each other, because now they saw that the churches saw that the need was greater. And so even though it hit and we do feel it, there's one thing about young people and people who are youth leaders, they're resilient. And that's why we kind of call the youth leaders and, you know, the Pathfinders, Master guys, they're like the Marines, you know what I mean? So even though we are getting hit. We have lost a few. I mean, literally lost a few through this. The work has gotten more work has increased, and but we're used to it. We're used to it.
Yeah, I just wanted to get insight on that because from my end, I've been noticing that even though those services have been canceled and usually, you know, all that meetings to prepare for those things have not have to happen, we've doing a lot more on Zoom, having meetings on how to give programs on Zoom. So it's just as busy, if not maybe even busier. That's what I've been noticing. Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I look back at it and wonder to myself, you know, did I work hard enough, you know, to get it out into the churches? Because what they're asking for is something that they should have already had, something that that should have been in their, and not even in their back pocket. It should have been something that was sitting in front of them all the time. So we've had, yes, right now I find myself spoon feeding to the local church. AYS, not Pathfinders, not Adventurers. You know, I'm not really. We're partnering with Lake Region Conference, who's just taken off when it comes to honors. I'm doing the honors, and we just connect everyone together. So the Pathfinders are doing their thing. It's the AYS that was dying, or there are some churches that haven't had it in years. Now they see the need of it. As much as I don't want to give credit to COVID-19, I see more churches now asking for, hey, how can we get these things for our young people? And if it's keeping me busy to do that, then I'm really happy to do it. It's in our blood. Anyone who's in youth ministries, forget about it. It's in our blood. That's what it is. So I'm not complaining over helping out at all.
Going into that, since this is a podcast that talks about youth ministry and reaches multiple churches and people, what is the advice or the programming that you're giving to those local churches that are asking, how can we have AY during this time? How can, or those churches that you were saying didn't even have it in years, how do you give them advice to just begin, do programming online, or just have programming, period?
Yeah, well, the hard part about this is that if our young people have not been involved, and I'm talking about teenagers, let's even go a little bit further down. Let's say 9 years old and climbing all the way up. So Pathfinder age, these teenagers recognize whether you were aware of them before. So the difficulty is trying to do something for them now. You know, they're the same people that say, oh, now you want to do something for us? What happened to all this time when there was just an 11 o'clock worship hour, or no one paid attention to Pathfinders or Pathfinder days, etc.? Young people remember those type of things. They you know, they're the ones that say, okay, how come we have to have Pathfinder Day, AYS Day, and Adventure Day all in the same day? That's their thought process. What I say to our AY leaders who have not done anything, and you know what I mean by that, who have not kept anything going, is you got to start from scratch now. Talk to their parents and let them know, because I don't want AY leaders to talk directly to the kids first. You know, we still have that Sterling thing that we do. We still have to make sure that we're not contacting each other like that. And start from scratch. Start off with things dealing with relationships. How are things going on at school? You know, don't throw the big spiritual thing in there right now, the big Bible thing right now, if you have not done it. Show them that you care about them, what they're thinking. There are a lot of kids who have not who are not going to be able to graduate or have graduation days. Some miss their friends. Anxiety is high. So I wouldn't want them to come at them like that. But just try to figure out what is it that's going on with them. AY leaders figuring out what's going on with the kids. Put them on Zoom. Talk to them. Have a conversation. Let them talk to their friends that they haven't seen in weeks. And and I think that's a great beginning. And then we can start adding programming to it. You know, relationship now, then programming.
Wow. So I just want to repeat so I know that I got it. So basically you're saying, the leader should start building intentional relationships now first.
and then introduce programming. Because if you just introduce that programming, especially if you weren't having the relationship, it's going to be for naught. It's not going to be effective anyway.
Yeah, you know how young people are. You know, they know right away if you're not interested. You know, I've sat down with young people when my mind wasn't there. They'll know when you're not attached, when something, you know, you're not vibing. And so I do think this is a perfect time. Let me just say this. I think this is a perfect time, though, to reengage that. To be totally honest with you, maybe over a year or so, we have 6 Federation office leaders, because we have 6, and they've fizzled out over the past year or so. But now everybody's coming back stronger, you know, like Voltron, just trying to bring everything back together again. And we have to do it slow, because I don't want to make the same mistakes that we've made before. Federations before is not the same federations now. The young people that were there back then that were pushing federations are not the same. Like in our regional conferences, talking about federations, not the same. So we have to find new ways to do things, and I'm up for the challenge and getting that done. So I'm using this time to rebuild that.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, shifting to more your specific area of Allegheny East, it's a regional conference with a meaning that it's a wide area, number of states that you're covering. How do you, you mentioned you have 16 different or a great number. Yeah. A number of subsidiaries, a lot of ministries. How do you, balance your time, your family life, when you're handling a massive load of youth ministries and responsibility?
Listen, I always said to myself, well, I got to run back to the church. The church was a whole lot easier, you know. Let me just say this real quick. Being in the conference office is a little bit different. I vibe off people, so I miss the church. I miss coming to church week after week. And I was a Sabbath school dude, too. So even if I were not in a Sabbath school class, I like walking around, you know, to each class, sitting in there, giving my 2 cents. Hey, pastor, get out of here. You know, we're on a good... I miss church. I miss, you know, it's not the bottom. Church is not the bottom. Church is literally the top. It's turned around. And the conference office, I work with great people. There's no but that follows that. It's just that you don't have that, you don't have that one-to-one. You're working on a lot of administrative type things. And when you are a youth director, there's a whole lot of different regimens that you have to go through before you can get to the final product. In church, you have an idea, a couple people with you, let's go ahead and do it. So, that's one of the things that's difficult, but I understand it now. I didn't understand it before. You know, you high frustration, and how come I can't just run and do what I want to do? You can't. You know, the risk management of where we are now makes things a whole lot different as far as that's concerned. But how do I manage? I'm just learning now not to take things home with me. And I don't mean literally home. I'm talking about my brain. Because administrators say no, it doesn't mean they don't like you. You know what I mean? If they say no, it doesn't mean that they don't care about your program or anything like that. When you look at the global side of it, they know what they're talking about. You just want them to say yes right away, because most youth directors or people who are into youth, period, and not just youth directors, young people want the now, so we want everything to be done like right away, right? Let's just get it done. I have to learn, for me, don't take those type of things home with me. Don't sleep. Don't let it allow me not to sleep. You know what I mean? Lose sleep or whatever. How do I balance it? I live in Bowie, Maryland. The conference office is in Pennsylvania. But I'm there when, before the pandemic, I was there Monday and Tuesdays or meeting times. Drive up, I stay in a cabin, come on back down and use the amount of time that you know, to get things done. When I'm home, because most of our volunteers work 9 to 5 throughout the days, I have meetings in the evenings and an agendas meetings. What I would like to tell people this, people will come back on the call and they'll always come to your meetings if you have an agenda. Don't ever go into an agenda just talking off the top of your head. You're wasting people's time. They want to know what it is that you want to talk about. So we can literally be on for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and we're gone, which is helpful for me. Family, I do the best I can. By the way, my kids is like 25, 23, 21. So they're young adults. We hang out, but they're doing their own thing. I take the time to be Pat Graham at home and not the pastor at home and not the youth director at home. So I try not to bring all my work throughout the house. I try to balance the best I can. I wake up at 5 o'clock every morning. By the time 8 o'clock is coming around, 8 o'clock, my administrative and myself, every day we're on at 8 o'clock together to make sure we plan the rest of the day and the week. Even if it's the same thing over and over again, it doesn't matter. So I'll get some of my personal things done, wrestling with God, 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. But by the time I get to 8 o'clock and it starts to speed out from there, I need to start putting on the brakes around 4 or 5 o'clock to get my head back together again. It takes a lot for the balance, you know, the people put some gray on, but it's absolutely exciting, E. It's absolutely exciting.
Awesome. I just wanted to highlight that you mentioned that toward the end of the day, you're planning, if I'm not mistaken, the next day or the week, so you know what you're planning. So once you get started, you're already ready to go. Is that correct that you said that?
Yeah. Let me go back. So 5 o'clock in the morning, the night before, the day before, I already know what's going on for the rest of the week.
Oh, right.
It's important for me to know what's going on the rest of the week. I'm not
OCD or?
Yeah, I'm not. But what I do wrestle, personally, I do wrestle with anxiety. I do wrestle with a high anxiety. So I have to plan my days out, and I'm particularly happy that those that are around me that work with me know that I go through that, so I don't get a lot of monkey wrenches thrown in. Mm-hmm. So a typical day for me starts at 5 o'clock in the morning. 6, 7 by 8 o'clock, I'm in contact with the office Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and no Fridays up to Thursday. By the time I get to 5 o'clock, I pick things to do. It's a book that Pastor Goodman gave me that I was going through. I wish I had the name of it, but it gives you all the things that you need to do, and every day you must have a highlight. So you have your list, but every day you have to have a highlight. And my goal is to always hit the highlight, and if I don't make my list, especially if it's for work, is I move it over to the next day and kind of broaden out what needs to be done. It helps me to focus a whole lot better. But yes, I do plan out my week. Feverishly, I do.
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight that because I think this is something that I've noticed with many youth directors. So it's not just you, Pastor Graham. It's many youth directors that are very effective. They plan out their week, their months ahead so that they know what they're doing and so they can be effective each day. So that's why I just wanted to mention that.
COVID is not a break. It's not a break. And one thing I'd like to share with everyone, if this continues to go on for a little bit, I believe in God, and I believe that God is going to put his hand in at his own time. It's not a break. It's not a vacation. The truth, though, for me is that I'm used to doing things the same way. Now I have to learn to do things a different way. I have to learn now that Instagram, I can get on Instagram now, not just seeing what the young people are doing, but now I have to have a presence on Instagram. I'm looking at TikTok now and say, okay, can I get on TikTok? And the truth is, TikTok is where I got the thing that Beta did earlier on with the Rush, the Pathfinder Rush. Those are the type of things that young people like to see, and you have to stay on top of your game, even if we're closed in. You can't put God in a box. So this new type of ministry that we need to hold on to, people are still going to, I think more people are going to be saved now because God wants, Sister White was talking about getting to the end of the earth, or better yet, the Bible tells us that the gospel has to get to the end of the earth. And what better way than for us to sit down and plan correctly to how we get to places that we would never be able to get a church into. So, yeah, I have to say that we're not on vacation. We have work to do.
Awesome. I just have to ask a question on top of that, because you mentioned social media. You mentioned TikTok, which is, I think, something that is extremely big right now. And now that people are home, they're on it even more. And you're saying that you're going on there and coming up with ideas. How important is it to continue telling our youth leaders and our church leaders that this is where the church is heading? This is where we need to be empowering our young people in using broadcast ministry, social media ministry. What comments would you have on that?
I hear a lot of people say earlier on, a lot of people say, oh, Facebook, that's for young people. You saw how quickly Facebook became for old people like me. It just, you know how it just moves on to the next thing. This year I'm going to be 50 years old, and I became the youth director 41, 42 years old. And I always said to myself, man, by the time I turn 50, I'm not going to, I guess I'm not going to be in this thing anymore. And someone said to me, and let me tell you this other thing. I'm going back to school to do counseling psychology because of young people. Mental health counseling. And my teacher said to me, Dr. Parsons, she said to me, you know, after this, you need to do your doctorate. And I said, no, I'm not going to do my doctorate. She said, why? I said, I'm going to be 50. She said to me, oh, so you're planning on dying at 50? And I like that she said that, because even though I don't have plans right now to go on to my doctorate, it's the same thing in youth ministry. You don't have to be a certain age to be in youth ministry. Your heart has to be for youth. Your heart has to be in it for youth. And when that happens, things like social media won't frighten you. Things like certain kinds of music, and I just want to be careful saying that, you kind of have to live their world to understand how to bring them back. You have to understand their thought process. You have to understand what they mean when they text you, and what does that text actually mean? You know, when they say certain phrases, what does that actually mean? And those phrases change all the time. Now, I'm not saying that you have to say them, because certain things I say just does not work for me. I wanted to add this real quick. I have an ACT team, or like a summer workers. We have about 20 of them at Allegheny East that comes in for 8 weeks. I literally use that time to learn about what's the new music, what's going on, what's the style of dress, what's the new word, and this is that and the other. And I try to use it around them. And they look at me and be like, PG, no, stick to where you at, but understand who we are. Yes. And I totally see that. So I'm going to miss that this year. We're not going to have it this year because of COVID. But all youth leaders must understand the plight of young people, what they're going through, what they're feeling. They're spiritual. They're just not religious. You know what I mean? Mm. And we want to make sure that we'll be able to translate what we do and how we do. So I'll tell the leaders right away, listen, check it out. It's fun. What we did, look at all the five youth directors that did the Pathfinder Rust type thing. That thing is going to go away by next week. But that's not the point. They still want to know, do those youth directors think about us? Do they, can they engage in what we do? And I think that's one of the most important things that has happened.
Wow. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think you are saying things that I totally believe in. It's when I teach youth leaders about social media, I say it's about learning their language.
Right.
You can't. If you're called to be a missionary in Germany, you're not going to not open a book of German words and not learn Guten Tag and all these things. That's so right. If you're going to young people, you need to open up TikTok just for a little bit so you can know what the kids are saying.
Yeah.
And I applaud you for saying that. And I totally believe that. And that's what makes, I think, I believe in my heart, effective youth ministry.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you this, sure. Pastor Graham. I know it's going to be it's more on the personal side, but I think it's really interesting and something that people who know you know about. You are an identical twin.
Yes.
And your brother is a pastor as well.
Yes.
How is that in ministry, that to have an identical twin that is in ministry with you, who's a pastor of a church? I'm just going to be facetious. I know you never did this, but you know, I don't think Pastor Paul has ever put on your uniform and pretend to be you at a camporee or something like that, even though I think that would be funny. But how is it to, is he a helpmate in the sense of partnering in ministry? Is he someone you get advice from?
Paul's church, RPC Church in the Potomac Conference, is a growing sensation because of the young adults that went there. And those young adults have children, and wow, 10 years have passed so quick. So some of those kids that came in are now teenagers and going to high school and all of that. Paul and I, we have, we're different in so many different ways. Paul likes to make those connections. He likes to, he's more of an extrovert. I'm more of an introvert. I like being home. I just don't like that somebody said I have to be home. You know, but we bounce ideas off of each other, but we don't spend a lot of time talking about the bad side of ministry. I won't say the bad side. There are certain things in ministry that we don't harp over. So he doesn't come to me telling me what happened at board meeting. I don't know anything what happened at board meeting. I can go to his church and shake hands with everybody, and they'll probably say, oh, I have a run-in with Pastor Graham. I don't know about those things. He doesn't bring those type of things to us. And I don't come back and talk to him about, you know, the political arena of being a youth director. We don't talk about those things. But I do have a twinge of, you said to be personal. I love church work, and I envy him for church. You know, it's just, to me, church is just amazing. You have to be out of it and then to go back to understand. That's why I think when we all get back to church, it's going to be a different ball game. It's just going to be a different thing altogether. I mean, we might do a holy dance in church, just be glad to be in there. But Paul has a way of connecting. Paul has a way of when he preaches, he connects in such a way. And I just don't have that ability. He's amazing. And we're different, but I'm glad that we're both in ministry together so that I don't come home and tell my wife certain things. I'm sure he doesn't go home and tell his wife certain things. So we live about a mile away from each other, hardly see each other because of ministry. Wow. But when we do see each other, hang out, ice cream, let's go to Home Depot, let's hang out, you know, let's just do something. But it's great to have him in ministry. I'll be honest with you, not just my brother, but the guys in Beta, I have a great respect for them. Even the ones that are not in youth ministry anymore, they still have a heart for it. I have to say that it's awesome. I don't like saying this, but you know, if I didn't get paid, I would still do it. Because it's a part of who you are. It's a part of your life. It's everything in your life. So if I went back to a church now, my whole thing would be, let's converge on young people, whether it's 20 members in a church, 30, 40 members in a church, or it's 1,000 people. I'll tell you this secret. If I left youth ministry, wherever God takes me to, and he says, here, I'm going to give you this 80 member church, I'll tell you, I'll be so happy. I, I, I believe that youth ministry should be the children in youth ministry should be the foundation of every church. I just believe it.
Wow. Awesome. I just
but
have
Paul's
one...
crazy though, okay? Paul's crazy. Right. If you get all to right. meet him, he's crazy.
Yes, he's awesome. I have met him before. He's awesome. And I just have one last question.
Come on.
And that is just reminiscing to a different time, not too long ago, but a different time.
Sure.
Where now we're at social distancing, but at I would say the last time the church was the opposite of this was Oshkosh. And I just want to ask, how did that event impact the Pathfinder ministry and the Pathfinders of Allegheny East?
We can't wait for Oshkosh again. Wow. Oshkosh to me is an amazing ministry. Allegheny East, we baptized 20-something people at Oshkosh, kids at Oshkosh. We could have baptized another 30 of them. The Pathfinder ministry is awesome. When I go to Oshkosh, being at Oshkosh tells me that there's a true heaven. The innocence of children, the innocence of teenagers. You know, people are not around fighting and carrying on. They don't even care if it's blacks or if it's whites, if it's Korean, if it's Filipino. They don't care about all of that. I just to see young people say, hey, we're here. Pin trading, free hugs. It just looked like Oshkosh is what heaven is going to be like. And of course, better because eyes have not seen or ears heard. Oshkosh is something that has to go continue. It's an amazing thing. If you have not been to Oshkosh before, I think we've lost out on something. You've lost out on something that is that you have to be there to experience it. You can't talk about it. You have to be in the presence of that happening. How many we had? 50,000?
Oh, over
people?
That. Yes.
Over 50,000 young people. I honestly thought it was awesome. Allegheny East, we're already planning for the next one. No one's going to beat us again on our front. That's not going to happen anymore. Not going to happen. We're going to save up money now.
Amen.
But it's awesome. Oshkosh is amazing. It could rain. Oshkosh is amazing.
Yes.
We're going to have thunderstorms. Oshkosh is an amazing, amazing place to be. Allegheny East will be there. Whether I'm the leader or I am the leader, Oshkosh is going to be there.
Awesome. Pastor Graham, it was a pleasure to speak with you about youth ministry. And like you said, I'm not paid for youth ministry, so I know that feeling of loving it so much that you'll do it for free.
Yes.
So let's, as I usually do on this podcast, I give it to the guests to give some encouraging words. There is somebody who is being called to youth ministry who needs to hear from somebody who loves serving the Lord, who's enthusiastic, says they will do it for free like yourself. What words of encouragement could you give?
You know, Ellen G. White tells us that the gospel, and I'm paraphrasing, the layman is where the power comes in. That's where, you know, there's no political fences. It's gospel, it's Bible, you can move on. You don't have to worry about budgets. You don't have to worry about anything. The gospel is free. But there are those who God has called to pastoral ministry and allow those to be in the layman side until he's called them to a place where they could do ministry from a conference or from a church, youth ministry from a conference or a church. Let me just encourage you or those who are into youth ministry or want to get into youth ministry. It's not for the faint of heart, but God is the one that equips. A lot of people ask me, how come that was so successful? I'm going to tell you something that it's not even a secret. I want to share this. Before I press post, I pray. I'm not talking about foolishness. Sometimes I put some foolishness on Facebook. That's not what I'm talking about. When I'm pushing the gospel, when I'm pushing something to encourage people, I literally, before I press post or to post it, I pray, God, that it may get into the right hands. He'll equip you. Somebody asked me before, Pat, how come it, the majority of what you do is successful? It is because I follow God. God don't follow me. Okay. Right? He'll humble you. And I don't sing that song, "Humble Me and Let Me Do Thy Will." I don't sing that because I don't want him to humble me. I want to be humble. In youth ministry, you have to be humble. And I want to encourage each person that's pushing in youth ministry, whether it's children's choir, whether it's Sabbath school, whether it's Pathfinders Adventures, whether it's Bible Bowl, PBE, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, speak the language of the young people and do not compromise the principles of Christianity, the Adventist Church, and who you are.